We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Bear Down Ballers here on the Field of 68. I'm Ryan Wall, and I'm joined, as always, by Jordan Pollack. Jordan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. It's been a great day down here in Cajun country in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, let's get right into it because Arizona bounced back in a big way against Oregon after losing by 3 to Oregon State this past Thursday. And I wanted to get into this game because Arizona won by 9 points at Oregon in one of the better environments and fan bases and home crowds in the Pac-12 in Eugene. And Jordan, I'm going to flat out say it right here. This was the best Arizona team victory since they beat Michigan State.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Clearly, they played really well. Outside of foul trouble in the front court, I thought they defended Oregon really well. They made some of their better players take a lot tougher shots, and I think that even scared Oregon a little bit away from how they usually play. They're really big on 3-point shooting, and that was a big thing that surprised, especially the broadcasters during the game, was how more efficiently Arizona was shooting the ball from beyond the arc than Oregon, because they're kind of known for that. In the second half, they gave up a few wide open threes, but outside of that, I thought Arizona did a great job defensively. Like I said, outside of the foul trouble, the front court, they had trouble with their five. He played really well, but Arizona just kind of said, "Hey, make your center beat our best scorer, who's going to score at every level."
Yeah, and Arizona, they didn't just win this game by 9 points, but they did it, like you said, in a great way. They shot the ball almost 50% from the field and over 50%, 52.6 from three-point land, while being almost 80% from the free throw line. And they had 4 out of 5 starters in double figures in this game. But Jordan, the guy that stood out to me and had not only a good game, not only a great game, but the best game to me of his collegiate career, statistically wise, obviously we know he went off in a Final Four a couple years ago. That's Caleb Love. 36 points, 12 for 18 from the field, 5 for 8 from deep. He was just unbelievable in this game. He made every big shot. He played every minute besides one in this game too, and he was just super aggressive from the start of this game. And from the start, you could tell that this was gonna be a great and iconic Caleb Love game.
Yeah, completely agree. One of the biggest things that separates Caleb Love as a scorer is just the crazy athleticism he has. The dude can jump out of the gym, and when a shot is falling, the combination of those two things is very hard for teams to deal with.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've said this all year long that when Caleb Love is playing at this level, Arizona could beat anyone in the country. And Caleb Love at that level is, to me, a top five-ish guard in the country. There's just not many guys that on any night can score over 30 points, and he has that ability. We got to find some consistency, hopefully, with him doing more of that, and I think that'll come because just looking at the shots, he took six more shots than Boswell, who had the second most on the team with 12, so it seems like the pecking order the last couple weeks is starting to be established with Love not only just fitting in like he did at the start of the year, but really being that number one guy on the team, that go-to option. And I think that's when Arizona will be at their best. But Kylan Boswell, I wanted to get in him a little bit and get your thoughts because we talked the last week or two. He hasn't had his best showings, and I was a little concerned myself. But he really had a solid bounce-back performance in a tough environment. 14 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 5 for 12 from the field while making 2 three-pointers. What were your thoughts on Boswell's play?
I mean, it's great to see him getting to double figures without having to make more than 2 threes. I think that's the biggest thing I can say about him. I'm still in the boat of skepticism because of the environment that the Oregon fan base does produce up there in Eugene. And so I think it's probably not just him too. It's a majority of the roster, but still don't for surely know if this team can play on the road or if it's just an environmental thing. I think we've been talking about this for over a month at this point, and I feel like a majority of people in the media are just starting to talk about it, which is kind of funny. But that's the biggest thing is this team needs energy. This team needs a good environment to be able to play up to their best level. And that's just something that great teams don't need. They don't need to do that. Like they should have beat Oregon State by easily north of double digits. And the fact that they go over 2 minutes and in crunch time in the second half and don't get a point, it's just mind blowing with some of the great players, great shooters, and just athletic guys that exist on this team.
Yeah, I totally agree. We got into that last week and in our last show that this Arizona team, they really do struggle to get off to hot starts on the road for whatever reason that may be. The Arizona fans aren't in the crowd and some of the Arizona players don't have tons of experience playing on the road and in big games. But yeah, I do expect more, and I expect what Arizona did against Oregon every single time on the road. That was an incredible performance, but I still maintain high expectations, even though I said that, you know, even last week, I didn't think this team was a great team, and I'm not just because of this great performance. I'm not going to label them great and elite right now. I still think they have to earn that title back from me. But I think they're definitely headed in the right direction. And it was just good to see them bounce back because that's something we've talked about the last, you know, throughout this season and even the first couple years of the Tommy Lloyd era is that every time this team loses, they bounce back. They don't lose 2 games in a row. And that just shows that tells me that this team does have a lot of fight and they can bounce back. And when they do it in a big way. And this game was a great one, and I think a big part of it was that the two big men and the two guys in Arizona's front court, and Keyshawn Johnson, Umar Ballo, they only combined, they only were 7 for 11 from the field. It didn't take a lot of shots, but they were very effective. Each had over double figures. Ballo almost a double-double, and you know, Johnson filled up the stat sheet in other ways. And I think that's really telling because when you can get solid, steady production from those two guys, and even Ballo, who was in foul trouble, like you mentioned earlier, for a long part of this game, only played 20 minutes, but can still be productive. That's telling that this team and these guys can fight through adversity and still get the job done.
Definitely, completely agree. And they did go a few stretches in this game running Keyshawn at the 5. And like I've said in earlier in the year, I thought that was one of the biggest threats that this team was able to have is they can run so many different lineups. And when they have Johnson, they have no problem switching 1 through 5. And we really don't really see as much of a need in college basketball as the NBA of really needing to switch 1 through 5.
but it's just another tool to keep in the tool chest, which is great for Tommy Lloyd and this team if they want to make a deep run, because sometimes you're going to go up against a team that's just incredibly hard to scout with 24 hours in advance. And the more things that you do throughout the season and the more experimental kind of lineups and tweaks and coverages that you can get defensively and offensively against teams, the more you're going to be prepared to deal with it in the tournament.
Yeah, 100%. As much as this was, you know, a really good team performance led by Caleb Love, obviously, it still took an incredible performance from him, from Arizona, to win by nearly 10 points. There wasn't much bench production in this game, only 8 points. Krivas did have 6 rebounds to go along with his 5 points. He was pretty good off the bench. But the one guy that did struggle in this game was Pelle Larsson. I wanted to get your thoughts on his play. He only was 2 for 7, only 7 points, didn't take a ton of shots because of the role Caleb Love was getting on throughout this game. But what'd you think of his play, and just kind of how do you feel at this moment of the season in Pelle Larsson? Because he is a guy that we've seen has shown that he can score 20 points on any given night, but the floor for Pelle on offense does seem a lot lower than some of the other guys.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. Like you need a kind of guy on your team that's going to be okay when his shot is falling, or when somebody else's shot is falling, of giving them the ball in more cases. I think the biggest thing I noticed from the game was defensively. In most of the games, Pelle can get in foul trouble pretty quick, but with the front court getting in foul trouble, I think he played really smart and tried to stay clear from fouls, because he was needed a lot more in those stretches where they didn't run a true five and they ran Johnson at the five, to where he had to play some defense on their centers and on their front court. And so I think there's just some mental aspects of the game that are a little bit overlooked with Pelle specifically. And I'm not really worried about him at all, to be quite fair. And I feel like the open shots he had, he took, and they look solid. And sometimes the ball just doesn't drop. So I have no worries really about Pelle right now. I think Pelle is going to be one of the big reasons this team can make a deep run.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Field 158.
Yeah, I agree with that. He has been good throughout this season. Needs to be a tad bit more consistent, but he always brings effort and energy. That's for sure with him. But I another point you said I wanted to bring back up is the defense, and specifically on Arizona guarding shots from deep. They did allow 7 3-pointers, but I think they did a better job actually with defending those shots. They were putting more pressure on the shooters from deep, and I think that's a big difference from what they've seen in the past, in past games where they've allowed a ton of threes. I think that is a big focal point for this team, and that allows them to take that next step. Is there anything else that stood out for you particularly from this game against Oregon?
I wouldn't say so. I think just again, I said it last week, I'm just happy the games in March aren't true away games and empty gyms.
Yeah, that's for sure, because, you know, Wildcat fans, as we know, they travel among the best in the country, which is great. Right now, I wanted to get into kind of Arizona's ranking and how they fit into the top 25 this week. They moved down to, or they moved up one to number 11 this week in the top 25. What do you think about this ranking? Because, you know, throughout this season, there's been, even this week, last night as we're recording this on Tuesday night, there was two top five teams that lost to unranked teams, which that has happened multiple times throughout this season. So what's your take of how Arizona ranking and how they fit into all this?
I think it's a year that it's really hard because a majority of leagues are super deep. And I know a majority of the top teams from the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the ACC are those teams that are losing, and U of A, you can throw them in there. But some of those leagues are really deep. And so, and I know you've alluded to this, of you just don't think there's a group or a few or even one team that's just head and shoulders above any of the others. Like, we just look at Arizona's schedule so far. They blow out Wisconsin, and then they lose to Purdue, and Wisconsin's like a game or two ahead of Purdue in the Big Ten, and Purdue's lost, I think, two or three Big Ten games, and the teams that they've lost to, Wisconsin, like, has handled well. I know the biggest one, I think I talked about it actually when we were talking about the biggest wins that Arizona's had, but within a week, Wisconsin blew out Nebraska by 20 and Nebraska blew out Purdue by 20, all within a week. And yeah, so it's
that,
really,
yeah, Jordan, that perfectly to me sums up this college basketball season as a whole, because there's even like for a couple of weeks, everyone, like, currently Purdue and kind of UConn are basically the top two like dominant teams right now, I would say. And but even, you know, those teams have lost a couple, and even still, Arizona being ranked 11 currently, and we're going to be in February as we're releasing this on Thursday. That's just so telling, because I still think, and many others do, that Arizona is firmly in that Final Four discussion at being, you know, the 11th ranked team right now with, you know, just over, you know, a month and change to go. So I think that's just telling how this year has shaped up to be so far.
Yeah, and I think from my perspective, how best I could explain it, especially the teams that are ranked above Arizona, is they are losing some of these games that are unranked to unranked teams in their conference, but a majority of all these teams are staying in the top two of their conference pretty consistently. Like Wisconsin, Purdue have been the first two places in the Big Ten for the last 4 weeks, and they haven't really moved anywhere, even though they've lost a game or so. They've stayed at the top of the Big Ten charts. Duke has stayed at the top of the ACC charts. UConn has stayed above at the very top of the Big East charts for the last few weeks. Kansas, and the Big 12 is a little different because there's a lot of really good teams, and it's really hard to win a road game. But still, Kansas is still in the top four spots and isn't going to drop any further, or hasn't so far. And so I think it's just consistency of being able to stay at the top of your conference, to where Arizona has kind of been jumping around from like one to four over the last few weeks and have been exchanging spots with teams that aren't so good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, even for, say, Duke's dropped a little bit since Arizona beat them earlier in the year, but Wisconsin, as we know, has you know, risen in the rankings since Arizona beat them. So those two wins will stay steady to me throughout the year of being great wins, two of the best ones. But, Jordan, but before we go today, I wanted to get into this weekend's games. There are two rematches of the first two Pac-12 games of conference play earlier in the season, just a month ago. And the first one is taking place on Thursday night, and that's tomorrow as we're recording this, on Wednesday. It's going to be at 6:30 p.m. in Tucson, 8:30 p.m. on the East Coast. It's on the Pac-12 network, sadly, and it's going to be at home this time. It's against Cal, against the Golden Bears. And then Sunday night at 6 p.m., a night game on Sunday in Tucson. It's going to be 8 p.m. on the East Coast. That's against Stanford, the team who handed Arizona their first conference loss on the road. This time it will be home. But first, to get into the game versus Cal, this was one of Arizona's most dominant victories in conference play, if not the most. They won by 19 points the first time around. And just like the game against Oregon, they shot the ball very well in this game, about 60% from the field. And this was a game where we saw very great and efficient performances from Love and Balo, who both, you know, Balo at 17 points, Love had 22. This Cal team is just not very good, to say the least. They're one of the worst teams in the Pac-12 to me. So what do you think about this? Because Cal has held their own a little bit. They're 4-5 in the Pac-12 currently.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I would say I'm kind of surprised they're even still within a game or two of being 500 in the conference. I don't see results being any super different than it was the first time that Arizona played up in Berkeley. I had a friend that went to that game, and he told me the crowd was definitely under 50% capacity, but still almost 50% of that crowd was wearing red, white, and blue.
That's crazy.
I don't think the result's going to be much different, which is sad. I unpopular opinion. I think the Cal Berkeley, I think it could be like a sleeping giant in athletics. I think they just have such a deep alumni base of how many great athletes have went there. And I don't know if it's just like been mishandled, not great coaches, not great recruiting, but it's just in a cool, it's a cool area. Like they're in a great part of the Bay and they've got some legendary alumni and guys that have played. And I know I've talked to you about like a few years ago, Jason Kidd, one of the probably the greatest well-known Cal basketball players ever. Right before he got the Mavs job, I wanted him to get the Berkeley job just because I would have loved to see them have at least a somewhat steady program. Probably made a better decision coaching Luka Doncic, but yeah, they're not in a great place right now. Hope for their sake, especially going into the ACC next year, that they can start to turn around that program.
Yeah, that's for sure. They don't have a ton going for them this year, especially. They do have one of the oldest players in the country, 60-year veteran senior. Fardal's Amik is averaging over 15 points, about 11 rebounds this year, is filling up the stat sheet. Looks pretty good, so he's to look out for. They do have a talented guard in Jalen Tyson this year who's averaging over 20 points, but besides those two, they don't got much else going for them. I think this is going to be another route. This is, as we know, when Arizona returns home, it's very difficult for any team to keep up with them at McHale Center. So I think at McHale, I think Arizona is going to win this one, just like last time at their place. But at this time at McHale, I think it's going to be a 15-point win at least. What do you think about that? And what's your prediction for this game?
I would agree with that. I would say 15 is probably around the magic number for this team.
Yeah, well, let's move on. Let's talk about the final game of the weekend. Like I mentioned, it's Sunday night. It's 6 o'clock in Tucson. This game is on FS1, so it's a national TV game, which is great to see. As we know, it's not many people can watch the Pac-12 games that are on that network. But this game was the opposite of the game versus Cal. Instead of winning by 19 points, they lost by 18 points to Stanford a couple of days later, a few weeks ago. This was a very brutal loss. Arizona just, from the start of this game, I knew it just, something seemed off and they couldn't get it going. And this was a game where Stanford had a career team day, 16 three-pointers. They were just unbelievable. Carlisle off the bench, 6 three-pointers. I mean, they were just, Jones had 5. They were just, they were hitting threes from, it seemed like, anywhere. It just, every guy had a Steph Curry automatic range on them. So how do you think this one's going to play out? You think at Arizona and in Tucson, it'll play out the other way this time?
I would say so. I don't think Arizona is going to be playing a zone by any means. I think they'll be trying their best to run Stanford off the three-point line and trying their best to defend Carlisle, especially with what happened last week with Jordan Pope. I think their best game plan is just to try to make the guys that aren't in scoring roles to try to score and beat them.
Yeah, I think that's something they need to focus on early because Stanford shoots a lot of threes. They shot 25 in that game. In Arizona, yeah, they just kind of were lackadaisical on defense. They didn't put a lot of pressure on them. They just kind of kept letting them shoot. Some of them were contested, but not all of them. They can do a better job there. I agree. I think Arizona gets the win. I think they stay in first place as they currently are in first place in the Pac-12. I think this is kind of when they get rolling. They're only on a one-game winning streak against Oregon, but like I said, it was an impressive fashion. And I think they stack up 2 more victories here, and they head into kind of the ending of the Pac-12 schedule on a high note, and they keep the momentum rolling. Any other final thoughts for you before we go?
Yeah, I think this week's a good opportunity to kind of get some wins in a row before making their trip up to Salt Lake City next week against a good Utah team. I think it's a good opportunity to finally get some consistency in just the win category.
Yeah, I totally agree. Utah is an impressive team. That should be a battle next week. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in to today's episode of Bear Down Ballers here on the Field of 68. You can follow us on X at Bear Down AZ Pod. You can follow the Field of 68, and we'll see you next time.